us, what is the tune the orchestra is playing?
I can't hear it. Would you turn on the radio? Find the radio, turn it on.
She's alive. Alive!
I bet all the girls want to fuck you.
First you spread your bread with peanut butter and marshmallow fluff and have a fluffer nutter.
Rockin' around with you, that's all I wanna do. I'm gonna make you my wife so I can spend my life rockin' around with you.
That was Huckleberry's recording, The Motor Cooled Down.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The Forbidden Dimension. A wolf's gotta learn.
Believe in the boogeyman. Rumor
Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
Bit by bit by bit, he carved a nightmare.
Welcome to Rumor Radio. Welcome to the show, fiends. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Yes, it's the world's original all-horror broadcast show. With me, your host, as always, Radio's Doom Dragomir.
I am the firstborn son of Satan. He commands my thoughts. I speak his words. The Book of the Dead.
This week on The Really Big Shoe.
We're horror fans that just want to give other horror fans opportunities to see some really cool stuff. So we want to have entertainment and special guests, and we do giveaways and trivia, and make it a memorable occasion for people that come out.
It's the new Rumor Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Dave Alexander, joins us. He's one of the many Daves I know, our blood-spattered guide, has a review of the new Rob Zombie Hellbilly Deluxe 2, and the caustic critic, Step Inside, the House of the Devil.
Talk to me, Lord. Talk to me.
Sounds from 6 feet underground this week. Fiends from the Tiger Lilies. We've got some creeping creds. Eshem, the Mountain Goats. And I don't know, oh, I guess tons of fun to come on your home for horror rot and roll room morgue. Let's go with Rock City Morgue. Nothing rhymes with morgue like morgue on room morgue. Let's go.
There's something creeping in the dark. These dangerous alarms. There's something lurking in the yard. It's dangerous in arms. I come out with my hands in the air. They don't hesitate, I swear. There's something creeping in my yard. It's dangerous in arms. There's something skulking in the dark. It's dangerous and armed. I've come out with my claws out in the air. Oh, it all hesitates, I
and ladies, Lord Bloodraw here, host of Lord Bloodraw's Nerve-Wracking Theater and Lord Bloodraw's Tremulous Trailers, the new monthly YouTube series, warning you that you are listening to the dangerous, the devilish, yet oh so debonair, Tomb Dragomir on Rue Morgue Radio. Ha ha! Geek out.
Thank you, my lord. You are the admiral of alliteration. We've got Dave Alexander coming up with feedback. Right after this funeral song, The End of Hunger from Tertium Non Datur.
there. This is Breck Eisner, the director of the Crazies, and you are listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
All right. Just stop the f***ing spitting.
Alright, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan? I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street. All of a sudden it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then tough titters.
Alright, this is feedback. My guest this week comes all the way from across the other side of the games room at the Rue Morgue House of Horrors. It's the newly anointed editor-in-chief of Rue Morgue magazine, Mr. Dave Alexander. How are you?
I'm good, Stu. Thanks for having me here.
First of all, the fans want to know, what happened to Jovanka?
Well, what I'll say is Jovanka left Rue Morgue, and it wasn't under ideal circumstances. And it was not an amicable break. That said, everyone here wishes her the best.
So can you give us an idea of how the magazine will evolve under your direction?
Well, one thing I'd like to do is emphasize the team aspect of Rue Morgue. I think in the past, sometimes there's a bit of a misunderstanding that it's just one person that's kind of responsible for everything, and that's never been the case. It's really a group effort.
But is that different than how it was in the past? Or are you just talking about how the perception of it will change? I'm talking about, will the content change significantly because of this focus?
In terms of content, I'm going to revamp things a little bit just to help out our coverage in terms of being able to cover more shorts and indie content on a regular basis. I'd like to tinker with the news section a little bit. In a more efficient way, I suppose. Not everything needs a one-page feature. So those are a couple examples. Got a couple other fun things lined up. Overall, it's not going to be a massive revamp by any means, of course.
So you also look after Rue Morgue's monthly Cinema Carb screening series, which had a really successful year in 2009. So can you explain what your philosophy is towards putting together those movie nights?
We're horror fans that just want to give other horror fans opportunities to see some really cool stuff. And we try to add extra to the screening so it becomes more of an event. So we want to have entertainment and special guests, and we do giveaways and trivia, and make it a memorable occasion for people that come out.
You will actually see, at this theater, in person, not a movie, a man buried alive. You will be able to see him in the grave through a specially constructed viewing tube. Since I am unable to admit you free, all I can do is urge you to see this truly amazing and unbelievable sight. We will give a bottle of Mycin perfume to any girl who can look into the grave and not faint. We will have an ambulance on call. If you look into this grave, you will remember it the longest day you live. Thank you.
Now, you also have a movie blog over at MSN where you cover a lot of films outside the genre. Can you tell me about the blog?
One of my old friends and a journalist that I work with is an editor over at MSN.ca. And she suggested that maybe I should have a movie blog on there, and I thought that was a really fun idea and allows me to write about film, which is, well, obviously one of my passions, outside of the genre, which I think is good. It's good to step out of that, not focus on one type of genre all the time. So I have pretty much free rein to do whatever I want, update it a couple times a week, and just try not to get Microsoft sued. And as far as that goes, it's a really good time.
Shh! You want to get sued? Now look, boy, if your dad goes gaga, you just use that shin of yours to call me and I'll come a-running. But don't be reading my mind between 4 and 5. That's Willie's time!
And you're also a filmmaker. Last year you had a short film, Fallow, which played a bunch of festivals. Presumably, I imagine it's still playing certain festivals throughout this year. Do you have any plans to do any more films?
Absolutely. I've got some treatments written, and there's some other short films written and stacks of ideas. It's always just a fight to find the time, and then above and beyond that, find the money. Got a good filmmaking team, wrote and directed the film with Colin Landry, who moved out here from Edmonton.
Canadian capital of rock and roll worship.
And Monica's husband Brenton's also from Edmonton, and he produced the film. And another friend of ours that moved out to Toronto from Edmonton, JP, shot the film. So we had a fun little group of sort of Edmontonian expats that worked on this project, and we'd love to do it again. But the bottom line is, you got to find money for that kind of thing.
And finally, Rue Morgue's 100th issue is just around the corner. What can you tell us about the 100th issue? What sneak peek preview can you give us at this point in time?
Well, it would be cliche to say we're really excited about it, but we are genuinely super pumped about this because we've got some really neat ideas. Without spoiling things, I guess we're thinking about doing some stuff that you haven't seen in the magazine before, that goes beyond just the pages of Rue Morgue. And we're going to maybe incorporate a music element to that. And the cover story is going to be pretty epic.
You're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
Call us on the Ouija board.
From the author of Psycho comes the ultimate in sheer bone-chilling horror. The house that dripped blood, 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 blood. Terror waits for you in every room. In the house that dripped blood, climb its creaking stairs. Walk down its dark and chilling corridors where untold horrors wait at every turn. The house that dripped blood. A madman lurking on the staircase. A severed head in the closet. Coffins in the cellar. Vampires, vixens, and victims.
Look beyond the broken bottles. Past the rotting wooden stairs. Root out the wine dark, honeyed center. Not everyone can live like billionaires. Look through the air thin walls. Tear up the floorboards, strip the paint. With the patience of a saint, grab your hat, get your coat. The cellar door is an open throat. Look past the kitchen cabinets, go through the chest of drawers. Doors. Dig up the laughing photographs. They're here somewhere or other. Take what you can carry. But let me tell you, brother, still waters go stagnant.
Mountain Goats, the house that dripped blood on Remorgue Radio. Now it's time to see what's happening with our goatee little friend. Hey, Shannon, what's happening?
If you watched the Grammys, you saw an incredible performance by Pink doing this like circus thing where she comes down from the ceiling on this, or she gets raised up from the ceiling and then comes down and goes and dips into some water and just spins around. It was absolutely incredible, and I believe now that is how Toom actually enters and leaves the Rumorg building. That's, you know, it's his ego thing, I don't know. Hey everybody, it's Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. Friday, February 19th, check out George J. Romero's The Crazies, the original vision of terror at the Metro Cinema in Edmonton, Alberta. Show starts at 9 p.m., and they usually have pretty cool giveaways beforehand as well. Tickets at the door, but don't wait too long to get them. Their last screening of The Thing sold out. The Nevermore Film Festival will be descending upon the Carolina Theater in Durham, North Carolina for 3 days of fright-filled fun. It'll showcase 23 new titles along with bringbacks like The Reanimator, Night of the Demons, and the Universal classic Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. It runs February 19th to the 21st with tickets on sale now at carolinatheater.org. And check out shock rock legends Impaler with The Creeping Cruds and Spook Hand. It's horror punk and roll on Saturday, March 27th, starting at 9 p.m. at The Basement in Nashville, Tennessee. Tickets just $7. And if you've got something that's happening and you want the whole world to know about it, send us an email, shannon@rumorgradio.com.
Hey, thanks, Shannon. That was informative. Yeah, and I actually have taken to entering the Rumorg House of Horror through the roof with a couple of ropes and some buckets of water. I don't think just a reception is too pleased about it, though. It's, can get a little messy.
No!
All right, new tunes from Rob Zombie coming up in the Blood Spattered Guide. Right after Ween. Stay tuned.
Cold blows the wind over my true love. Cold blows the drops of rain. I never had but one true love, and in Camville he was slain. I'll do as much for my
oh.
shots.
Then you can match.
Doing the monster match with you on this beautiful Valentine's Day.
Marty, why did you play that song today? There must be thousands of love songs.
Well, it's kind of a love song. All the monsters enjoying each other's company, you know, dancing, holding their evil in check.
You played the wrong record, didn't you?
Why are you doing this to me?
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa LaDuce, your blood-spattered guide to music on Rumorg Radio. This week, there was an early Valentine's Day gift for lovers of Rob Zombie.
Bah! This is just another Hallmark holiday cooked up to sell cards.
Oh, a Valentine from my granddaughter.
Could I have the envelope?
After years of speculation and delay, Rob finally released his fourth solo album, Hellbilly Deluxe 2. Noble Jackals, Penny Dreadfuls, and the systematic dehumanization of Cool. Now, before I review that mouthful of an album, I have a few words to say about our friend Rob. I call him that even though we piss on him a fair bit around here, because I want you to know there are many Rob Zombie fans at Rumorg. We have nothing personal against the guy.
Because of you, we're all taking golden showers.
We just don't like some of his movies.
Doc, it sounds to me like you're talking about the Antichrist.
Well, perhaps I am.
And a couple of them we really don't like.
Oh, brother, he's a dead man.
But that doesn't mean we can't listen to his new record with open ears. Let's start with some facts. Hellbilly Deluxe 2, as you can tell by the title, is being touted as a kind of sequel to his breakout hit from 1998, the album that gave us his biggest singles, Dragula, and my favorite, of course, Living Dead Girl. Now, Rob has put out records in the time between then and now. He did A Sinister Urge and Educated Horses, but he has seemed much more interested in making those movies. So, in 2008, when he started talking about his return to rock, old school Rob Zombie and White Zombie fans were waiting excitedly. Well, did he deliver? Did he make a record as good or better than Hellbilly Deluxe? You know, he kind of did. There's something he's really great at, and that is the anthem about monsters. You know, with the big, dirty, groovy guitar riffs and the sing-along chorus. You've already heard the first single, What, here on the program, about vampire lovers and cannibal girls. On the record, you also get tracks about Jesus, Frankenstein, and women from Mars. In fact, that's my favorite, because I didn't know Mars needs angry red women.
Mars needs women, angry red women. Mars needs women, angry red women.
There is also some experimentation on the album, although I do suspect the blues and the prog influences come more from his band, who he worked with from the beginning for the very first time, than it does from Rob, because what Rob's music is essentially a B-movie in a 3-minute pop song. Well, more accurately, it's a B-movie poster, because there's not much plot to a Rob Zombie album.
It's more vicious than a vampire, more maniacal than a monster. It's an incredible horror come to life.
I don't hear a lot of creative depth, and that's always been my problem. I think if you look beyond I Love Monsters, yeah, he's really not saying much more. Ultimately, how much you like it, like most sequels, will depend, I think, on how much you loved the original. If you were there in 98, if Hellbilly Deluxe was your album, you don't really need this one. But if you've been waiting for years for Rob to do something really cool, you'll appreciate what's going on this. It could be longer. There are only 9 tracks plus a couple of remixes, but like I said, Hellbilly Deluxe 2 holds up. Let's play one of the songs on here I think that you will dig. It is for the trailer, I guess, he made for the Grindhouse project. This is Rob Zombie and Werewolf Women of the SS on Rue Morgue Radio.
Finally, the truth about Hitler's diabolical plans to create a race of superwomen can be told. Werewolf Women of the SS.
Adolf Hitler and his inner circle became obsessed with the occult. Nazi agents traveled the globe in search of ancient Nordic relics known as runestones. The symbols inscribed in these stones were said to describe the path to immortality.
When you rule the blood, death is no longer the end.
Blood Creek.
The Creeping Creds.
We all give what we secretly want. A knife in the back.
Congregation, please be seated and open your prayer guides to the Book of Revelations, Psalm 69.
2,000-year-old medical journal, techniques for bloodletting, advice on trichinosis. Would you navigate the globe with a map of a flat earth without DNA testing? Would you believe virgin birth? And I find it's getting painful to put up with grown adults who actually believe unicorns and creation, and God always takes their side. That's when my innocent jabbing turns snide. Touchdown. Thank God for blowing up the enemy's sacred ground. So how am I supposed to take anything you say seriously when you swap free will for faith, hope and predestiny? And it's getting agonizing to hang out with grown adults who actually believe mythology and history trump physics and science. My aversion has turned to abhorrence.
Tell you like it.
I love it. It's perfect. About the deposit, I'll agree to waive all the deposit stuff. You just give me the first month's down, we'll call it a day, all right? It's hard coming up with all that money, isn't it?
It's gonna work out.
You're not the one with $84 in a bank account and a check to write on Monday.
You know what you should do.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to the babysitter flyer posted outside my dorm.
Tonight's big eclipse is now well underway.
I feel a little weird just dropping you out here, like in the middle of wherever we are.
Hi, this is Rick Baker, Monster Maker, and you're listening to Rumorg Radio.
The Caustic Critics.
Controversial, unrelenting, it's brutal, it's nasty,
sensational.
The worst of the worst. Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critics. They're here.
All right, this is feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
Now, despite our sermonizing last week from the Book of Eli...
Hail, Satan.
Hail, Lance.
Don't mess with the devil, buddy! We're number one. We beat anybody. We're the devils! The devils!
Devil worshipping will not abate, as evidenced by the latest Ty West movie, House of the Devil.
House of the Devil.
Produced by New York indie provocateur Larry Fessenden.
A man among men.
And I think he's on a roll, actually, because the last one he did was I Sell the Dead. And while I didn't enjoy this as much as I Sell the Dead, it was still a very entertaining,
House of the Devil?
Worthy effort. What did you think?
I fucking loved it.
Oh,
I
here we loved go. It. Interesting.
Yeah.
Go on. Tell me why.
Well,
first of all, tell me what it's about.
Okay.
It's hard to do without plot spoilers, so you better be on your best behavior.
I'm the worst at that. Still reeling from Hansel and Gretel. Okay. This is a period piece movie that's set in the 70s, which he does in
the
80s. Yeah, sorry, more likely the 80s, actually, because the music is from The Fix and all that, right? Yeah, so which he's done incredibly well. Better than I've seen anybody do it in recent memory.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of retro film stylings going on, especially from indie movies. And it's really tiresome, but there's always room for people to do it well, and this is an example of people doing
how to do it right.
Are you not the babysitter?
It's about a young girl at university who accepts a babysitting job, and there seems to be some kind of question as to what the babysitting job entails exactly. We know she's a little desperate for money. She ends up getting a drive from her friend out into the countryside, where she's told by the guy who hires her, who's played terrifically by Tom Noonan, who my favorite role that he ever did was the guy in RoboCop 2 who says, got a great line, where he says, Jesus had days like this.
Jesus! Had days like this.
Thank you, Tomb, for inserting that. Anyway,
he was also Dollarhide in the Michael Mann adaptation of Red Dragon Manhunter. It's creepy, right. Motherfucker. No,
very creepy.
About
great
it.
Stage presence. Just the way he looks, the way he talks.
And the girl in question, Samantha, is played by a young lady named Jocelyn Donahue.
Is this her first movie?
No, she's been in a bunch. Okay. She was in The Borrowers. But she's the spitting image of a young Margot Kidder.
Oh, yeah, that's who it is. You know, I was putting together because the feathered hair and all this look and the face, that's exactly
like
who it is,
Black
Margot
Christmas
Kidder.
Like a Black Christmas era Margot Kidder.
There's a certain species of turtle that can screw for 3 days without stopping. Barb, dear, do you know how I know this? Because I went down to the zoo and I watched them. It was very boring.
So anyway, she goes out to the countryside with her friend to accept this babysitting job, and she finds out that it's not actually babysitting a child. It's supposed to be babysitting an old woman or something.
It's a sketchy situation.
Yeah.
You have to forgive me, Samantha, because I've not been completely honest.
We're from the desert, you know.
You see, we actually don't have a child.
And anyway, she gets left there behind in this house, and then everything starts to fall to shit because...
I think that's as far as you can go.
Well, I was going
to
say there's an eclipse going on, and we know how Satanists feel about eclipses, lunar eclipses, so...
Let's just say she's wandered into a situation that turns out to be distinctly different than what she thought she was getting herself involved
that's
into.
That's right. They're perfect. Right?
Now, for me, there's sort of three acts.
Yeah.
The setup, then the second act... is a huge extended sequence where this girl is alone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just basically creeping around this
kind
dark
of exploring
house.
And yeah
she knows there's
sounds.
An old lady there, yeah. But she doesn't ever see the old lady. She hopes never to see the old lady.
Yeah.
So she's tripping around and she's aware of every sound. And that's the moment. And we know that there's kind of danger encompassing her, mm-hmm. or circling around her that she's unaware of.
Yeah.
But those moments are phenomenal. They are pitch perfect. Every camera angle, every sound effect. It's flawlessly designed to ratchet up the tension to an unbearable degree.
Right. something happens in a graveyard and you're just like, whoa. And then something happens behind a closed door that she again is unaware of. And you're just like, oh yes, this is getting better and better. And the final payoff, I was more than happy with. I really liked it.
That last act didn't live up to that middle section of the movie.
It's true. The middle section is the height of it, but the final like 5 minutes of the movie I really enjoyed, because again it was it took it in a direction that most people wouldn't have. Most people, everything, and again I'm not trying to spoil it, but in a lot of these movies, you know, good overcomes evil and the character moves on and has a life-changing experience. Not so much in this one. In this one it ends on a downbeat, but it's a...
Another complaint. It's kind of a minor complaint, really. One of the baddies is played by an actor named AJ Bowen. He's not menacing. He doesn't have a menacing presence.
I know what you're saying, but right after we're introduced to him, not less than 15, 20 seconds after we're introduced to him, he commits a horrible act of...
Now, before we completely ruin every plot detail, I almost forgot the most important aspect of this movie.
This is incredible.
Check this out. Along with this coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, they also released a clamshell boxed VHS tape.
The gourmet would be proud of this, man. Look at that.
The gourmet would be drooling all over this.
That is gorgeous, man.
Now, I actually showed that to somebody, and they were really perplexed as to why anybody would release something on VHS. They completely didn't get the whole conceit, but it's a very clever marketing device. Not only is it in keeping with the film's 80s aesthetic,
yeah,
but it's a talking point, and it's got people discussing the collectability of the VHS.
Totally. Look, it's even distressed cover and everything. Yeah, this is great. Gorgeous. Are we giving this away?
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. Right on. Okay, so we're both recommending this movie.
Till next time, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
The devil bought your body. The devil bought your soul. So now to do his evil is your only goal. To sum each of his evil deeds, cause suffering and pain. You steal for him, you rob for him, kick them until they're lame. The devil bought your body. The devil bought your soul. So now to do his evil is your own. From sinners' backs, drink bladders, holy wine. The devil bought your body. The devil bought your soul. So now to do his evil is your own. Satan is your king, and when he rapes your daughters, then you'll wear his ring. Yeah, you bow down to Satan.
The devil, yeah, we heard some no effects and the creeping cruds back there, way back there in the rearview mirror. And that's it, fiends. Our wacky adventure has come to a close. Say it ain't so.
Say what?
I can really relate to that.
Fear not, we're back right here next week, same time, same place.
I want to go to there.
Follow me on Twitter, on the Tweety Birds, in the meantime, at Dragomir, Dragomir, and send us your music to 2926 Dundas Street West, Toronto, Ontario, M6B1Y8, do we have time for one more song tune? I'm gonna play an Elvis song, it's not too long. Adios, until next time, adios.
Oh, get off!
I left my home in Norfolk, Virginia, California, home of mine. I straddled that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina. I had motor trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Right away, I bought me a through train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham, smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody helped me get out of Louisiana, just helped me get to Houston town. Now people there who care a little about me and have all let the poor boy down. Hey. Sure as you were born, they bought me a silk suit and put luggage in my hand. And I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. Working on a T-bone steak, all the cardi flying over to the Golden State. And the pilot told us in 13 minutes he would sit us at the terminal gate. Sweet low chariot, come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, you made Norfolk, Virginia, died 1-4-10-09. Tell the folks back home, this is the promised land, caught in the poor boys on the line. Working on a T-bone steak, all the carny flying over to the Golden State. I told us in 13 minutes he would sit us at the terminal gate. A swinging old chariot come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, you may know for Virginia died, what a 1409. When the folks back home, this is the promised land calling and the poor boys on the line.
It seems our patient thinks of himself as the hero of his own story. All that awaits him now is his own death, or his own glory, for that matter. His greatest fear would appear to be life itself and the ever-growing confusion that it brings. What little information he has given me, I can only assume that he is plagued by one nagging question. Is it he or we who are truly mad? Only time will tell if I will be able to unlock the door to his madness. After all, he's the one holding the key.
Jesus had days like this.
Damn right.
Because of you, we're all taking golden showers.